going on, everybody? What is going on? We are back. I know we took a couple weeks off and I said I would never do that in 2023, but guess what? Life happens and it happened fast. And so y'all, I'm back. I'm Lawrence Henderson with another Hot Takes episode where we are always seeking to lead with humility, openness, and transparency. And I got a doozy for y'all today. I have a leader, coach, disruptor of all things that are comfortable for you and your organization. I have the dynamic Tracy Knight. What's going on, Tracy?
Woo! Love that intro. I'm taking you with me.
Well, Tracy, before we get into this conversation about dealing with difficult folks, who are you? Where are you in the world?
Yeah, thank you so much. I've been really looking forward to this interview. So I am Tracy Knight. I'm Coach Tracy Knight. I'm a self-mastery coach. I'm based out of Atlanta and I work globally around the world, really helping super powerful and ambitious leaders learn how to effectively play and win the game of life. And that's what we're going to be talking about today, is what this game of life is and why these difficult people keep showing up in your life.
I love it. I absolutely love it. Well, and again, and one of the questions that I love to ask the leaders that I interview is, what got you into this work of coaching and leadership development?
Yes, I never wanted to be a coach ever. In fact, I know I call myself a coach, but I really am not totally comfortable with it. At my core, I'm an educator. I am a people developer. And so my friends who have known me for years tell me that I was developing people when I was 8. I was definitely an entrepreneur by 10, but I this is literally my purpose. It is so purposeful for me, but that purpose has taken on and embodied many, many passions over the years, everything from K-12 education to higher ed to nonprofit, HR, corporate. I've served people in so many different sectors, but for the last 17 years in my business, I really have been focused on helping leaders create effective teams. Because what I began to realize is that people were really having the same problem. One, they see people as difficult. Number two, they don't know how to have conversations around difficult subjects. They're struggling to be able to navigate between multiple generations. And we're just really wanting to be effective, but we find ourselves being very frustrated and stressed because we're not always effective. So my work for the last 17 years has really been in this space, and it is so fulfilling for me. I get an opportunity to also do this in the collegiate setting, to really get those young professionals who are, entering the workforce and think they got it all figured out until they get there.
I absolutely love that. And so y'all hear this. So it's funny how just the alignment of leadership development and how we're showing up in this season for organizations, because one of the biggest things that you just named there, Tracy, is leadership development and you as a coach being a bridge. That's what I was hearing as you were describing what you do and why you do, is understanding and identifying that need and being that person who can be that people whisperer, so that you can help people connect not only to themselves as individuals, but how they show up for others. Yeah. And it's funny, once upon a time, I know y'all out there who see this version of me, you would have never thought that at some point in my career, I would have been dubbed a difficult person. But I, as a former self-identified difficult person, I apologize in the most humblest and gracious ways that I can for said difficulty. But Tracy, you help people, and I love that I'm a self-mastery coach, because that's where it started for me, identifying it from the inside out. And so when you say to people, your take on difficult people is dead wrong, what is your understanding of what difficult really is all about?
Yeah, thank you for that. Mm-hmm. Like, I love that. I love the acknowledgement that you have been and probably sometimes still are a difficult person, just as I am a difficult person at times. And when, I promise you to the listeners, when you take my course in dealing with difficult people, the one takeaway that you will come away from there with is that I am the difficult person. And so you begin to recognize that you too are contributing to this relationship, to the scenario. The undergirding of everything that I focus on in from a people development perspective, whether I'm doing motivational speaking, coaching, or training, or doing employee mediation, is around social and emotional intelligence. So as you well know, conflict, navigating conflict, is one of the 26 competencies of social and emotional intelligence. And I want to talk a little bit about that. But before I do that, if you would just entertain me for just a second, I think putting some context around my philosophy will help to contextualize what I'm going to say. And that's simply this. I believe that life and leadership are a game that we are all playing for the duration of your life. From the moment you pop out your mom's womb to the time you transition, you are playing the game called Lawrence's Life. And the object of that game is very simple. It's to create a life that is authentic for you, that is inspiring, and that is connected. Because unlike other world-class games, you really only have one opponent. You're not really competing against that person who is on your team who doesn't seem to comply. The only opponent you have is the person that faces you in the mirror every single day. And so the object of this game is to keep leveling up who you are to become the next iteration, the next best version of yourself. See, all of us come in, which this is a part of the game. Every game has obstacles, right? So we each come in with a little bit of an obstacle. I like to call them triggers. And so those triggers, oftentimes things like feeling excluded or feeling powerless or feeling blamed or scolded or feeling controlled, like people are trying to control you, feeling unsafe, unheard. All of those triggers that come oftentimes from childhood, but that's too long of a story to go into. Those triggers are really what cause us to get real irritated when people show up in a certain way. And so that trigger, which sits in you and can be overcome, but I think that what we do is we overcome it in levels. We overcome it at layers. You know, so overcoming, let's say, feeling control, which happens to be my trigger, when I was a program director, is different than running your business and still feeling that in some way. But the more you can one, recognize what those triggers are, the more you can manage the relationships. Because see, the person, each of these individual people are running their own race. They're playing their own games. I just need for people to know it ain't personal. It's not personal, but it is just people trying to navigate life to the best of their ability through their lens. They've learned very unique ways to navigate and to deal with their own trigger. But sometimes their trigger and your trigger bumps up against each other.
There it is.
You can look at this life like a game. Games can be fun. Games can stretch you. You know, games are going to teach you that sometimes you feel like a real winner and sometimes you feel like you need to go back to the drawing board. But you need these people who we call difficult people in order to really see who you are. Because guess what? In Lawrenceville, not Lawrenceville, Georgia, but Lawrenceville as in Lawrence. In Lawrencetown, he is always right. He is the mayor, the judge, the jury, the prosecutor, the defense attorney. He's always right because he only sees it through his lens until he bumps up against Tracy. And in Tracy Town, I'm always right. And so when those two things collide, you get this opportunity to either lean in and see what your contribution to it is, to see how you can learn how to communicate more effectively, how you can learn to be more vulnerable and build a bond with this individual, learn how to foster trust with them, mm-hmm. watch your own interpersonal skills, things like facial expressions and body language, learning how to listen, which is a part of the communication, but I want to segment that out to actively listen. It might be illuminating to you that you need to learn how to create win-wins in relationships. So I need a Lawrence to show me who I am so that I can become much more masterful at this game called my life.
And I love
it. If I don't have it, then I think everything is hunky-dory, but I'm not getting the results that I want.
I tell you what, you better look for all my coaching clients that are out there. I promise I have not told Tracy about any of our sessions. I promise. I tell you again, this is what people need to understand. Like when you start having these conversations about individuals, right? And that emotional intelligence is one of them t-shirt slogans and those t-shirt phrases to get thrown around. Everybody got one. Everybody bought one in all 64 crayon box colors of a t-shirt. Right. But the work you're talking about, that describing of that first, that self-awareness, but then there's that self-regulation. And most people try to jump to the social awareness part of it, that empathy. Yes. I wouldn't put myself in somebody else's shoes. Look, fact, you haven't even grown up in your own shoes. So like you said, I'm in Lawrenceville, you in Tracyville, and both of us coming together. And as you were describing that, what you're talking about is now operationalizing. And one thing that I tell majority of my clients, and I say it to my team all the time, is Q-tip, quit taking it personal. Yes. Because if we really truly believe operationally and fundamentally, iron sharpens iron.
Yes.
It takes two strong people to have the humility.
Yes.
To be in the presence of each other. Yes. Without taking things personally, but saying I'm going to be more curious than confrontational.
Yes.
And understanding and seeing Tracy as a strong individual, as a strong leader, I need what Tracy has, because the uniqueness in which she views the world, that may actually be a blind, like the answer to a blind spot of mine, and vice versa. And we don't get to that place until we make ourselves available for that engagement from a place of active humility, where again, you're not thinking less of yourself, you're just thinking of yourself less. And I think a lot of times when people encounter the difficulty in people and in situations, we retreat to ego. And we retreat to, I gotta defend me. I gotta protect me. Yes. Instead of saying, okay, one, let me be present to what the reality of this is. Why? What is triggering me? What is it about this situation that has me so amped up? And I love, Tracy, that approach of saying, hey, your thing is okay for you to feel, but are the lens that you're viewing it from, is that giving you a correct data point? So that, again, you're not hurting the situation, but you're being in support of the situation, whether it's organizationally and your family and all the rest of these things. And so when you think about just moving someone from step one, getting out of themselves. And again, me and you do it on a podcast and it sounds real good to say, quit taking it personal. Don't do all this stuff. But that's being a work in progress. How do you get somebody to see themselves and then take that first next step towards, hi, my name is difficult. I want to move forward. How do you get them there?
So the first thing, I do believe that awareness is the first step, but awareness does not change conditions. So I like to start with, what is the trigger? You know, and really peeling back the layers on, when does that trigger show up? How does it show up? What do you do when you are that person that feels like you might be replaced, which comes from a place of abandonment, right? So if you're that person that feels like you might be replaced and you start to worry a lot and maybe you become an overachiever or whatever it is, what behavior do you exhibit as a result of that? And how is that impacting your work, your stress, your relationship with your colleagues, the culture? How is it affecting that? You know, because I believe that you have to have a big enough why in order to make any kind of shift. Because what we're going to be talking about is growth habits, having a growth mindset and growth habits. But you can't get to that until you deal with feelings first. And then secondly, you also have to have a big enough why that's going to make you want to shift. Okay. So that why is what you defer back to. If there's a big enough pain point that's fueling that why, then when times get tough, like the ego starts to rise up, you can go back to, but I want something different here. You know, I see how this is impacting my team. I see how it's impacting my significant other. I want something different. I want a different caliber of marriage, of relationship, et cetera. It's because those are the things that will propel you through. Then I think the next thing is once we become aware of it, another part of this is really understanding the distorted thinking. So now we need to start dealing with the belief systems that are fueling that. So things like there are about 4 automatic thoughts that run rampant in our mind on a continuous basis. And some people cleave to one more than the other. So they are assuming. So now you're in a relationship with someone, and if you are triggered, you might be that person that automatically starts assuming that you already know why this person is doing what they're doing. And you've already drawn the conclusion. In other words, you have the answer book. You haven't asked anybody anything. You haven't had any conversations at all. And the best example, Lawrence, I got to give you this. This was not a workplace example, but it's a personal example, but one that I think is so relevant around relationships. So one of my mentees, I won't say which school she goes to, but one of my mentees was dating this young man. And she's kind of new at dating and building bonds with people, but she's dating him, and they were going out and kind of going Dutch, but she was driving. She was doing the driving because his car was off campus and all that good stuff. And so over time, she started forming some like resentments around it, because one of her things is about being used. Okay. Her trigger. And so what ends up happening is she goes and talks to her girlfriend. She talks to an auntie and some other people, and they all tell her, you should dump him because he's, you know, he's not, this is no different than what we do in the workplace. You know, the supervisor is doing this, the coworker is doing that. So they've already decided, they've already assumed that they know why this young man has not decided to like maybe treat on one of the dates or whatever, or offer her gas money, which is one of the things she said. So she goes and she breaks up with him. So she finally gets to me. She's already taken an action. And so I say, I'm going to call her Mary. Mary, did you have a conversation with him? Right. Go figure. I said, did you ask him? Did you share with him how you were feeling? And she was like, well, no. By the time we start breaking it down, she's almost in tears out of embarrassment, not because of me, but because she realizes it was these assumptions that were in play around what should be happening, which brings me to my second piece. It's the should, the must, and the ought. A person should be doing this. They ought to be doing this. They must be doing that. So you make assumptions. The second one is should, must, and ought, which is all based on expectations, based on your belief system. I said, well, did you all ever come up with an agreement on how you all were going to date? Like how you all were going to handle, you know, different things, whether it's in a department, but in this case, it was, you know, just going out on dates. No, we never had that. Okay. Then there is fairy tale. The fairy tale idea is like, oh, everything is great. You know, everything, you start thinking on the very front end, everything will just be fine. I don't ever need to have a difficult conversation. It'll just work itself out. And so it's like being in denial and sticking your head in the sand. And so when you do that, and then things don't turn out the way that you want them to, the fourth phase of belief system is you start catastrophizing. Mm. You know, you go from 0 to 1,000 in 2 seconds, you know. So I say all that to say, and I know I'm using a personal example here of just dating, but it really in the workplace, it is so often, it's the same exact
thing. It's the same thing.
So when we can get to that, and you can begin to see your ownership. Now, thank goodness my mentee, Mary, went back to, by this time, she had blocked him, had cleared his number out of her phone. I'm talking about gone to the extremes here. And then, but later, somehow, this young man decided to call her. And she was able to make an amends. And I'm so proud of her, because this is, Lawrence, is an example of the next step, which is when you recognize your contribution to it, you take ownership, you take responsibility. You begin to take responsibility and get clear about what it is that you do actually want. So she did. She made an amends and she told him what was going on. He apologized because he had some things he wanted to apologize for. And it has just really blossomed into a beautiful, like, just friendship that maybe will, who knows where it'll go. But they have a much more solid relationship now, where they go out, they enjoy each other's company, and they're starting to understand each other more.
Yeah. And I love that connection point, and I love taking it from the personal side, because one of the biggest things and the biggest travesties that ever happened to us as professionals was this belief that you could box yourself into these entities, right? You got the, I got the work hat me, I got the personal hat me, I got, and COVID allowed that to blow right up in our faces, and to expose us all as emotional, squishy beings 24/7. And what you just connected there in the workplace is just this idea and an amazing example of a Q-tip. Like, it's causing conflict with me. It's causing that catastrophizing. And I love that you brought that up, because if people aren't aware of how going zero to 100, how that shows up in your everyday action, speaks to your lack of awareness of how your emotions has they created conditions for you. And again, you understand it with that quote of saying, hey, like, that self-awareness, it does not change behavior or condition. That self-regulation, that self-management, you now need to be aware of how that impacted. And you, like you said, it was out of like, oh my God, why did I allow myself to go there emotionally? But get, and for us to normalize this stuff for people, but not only be aware, but normalize. Now, when she does it in the future, she'll feel it coming.
Yes.
And then she has a choice to make. And it happened last night. And so me, my wife, and one of my mentors, Dr. Belinda Johnson White, we had a graduation for some graduates of a Level Up program. And the graduates had presentations. They were showing their portfolios. And it's funny that dealing with difficult people, and it's starting from the inside out, several of them, as they were presenting, had this internal turmoil start. And in the moment, and they almost stopped themselves from continuing and speaking, but they became difficult in themselves. And to watch them real time self-regulate, self-monitor, and restart.
Yes.
Lock back in. And for us, and again, watching them on their presentations, be like, man, do we do that in relationships? Can we do that in relationships? We absolutely can.
Absolutely.
It's just it's a matter of you being conscious and you being present about what is my body trying to communicate to me, and then you having a choice. And I love, I was at a conference last week, and I've been telling everybody this week. Dr. Carolyn Leaf, she said it kind of those three phases, and it almost in line with almost every one of the phases you talked about, Tracy, is you think, you feel, you choose.
Yep.
You think, you feel, you choose. And if someone has been conditioned in a certain way to choose, and like your coaching client had this memory track, I choose, this is what it is, this is the behavior that I'll select, and then that's that. But now you are helping them build a new pathway.
That's correct.
And when dealing with difficult people, you lose out on the opportunity, I say, to practice. We need the reps. And so be like, nope, don't cast people aside. Don't throw them off. Just be more curious. And what you gifted your client was this ability to be curious about, hey, am I actually operating off of the real data point here? Am I actually operating off of the reality of what really happened, or the story, the catastrophizing story that I let be true?
Yes.
And so for you, as you're coaching people and the people out there saying, okay, how do I stop and do what your client did? They want to be like your client. How do you get them there?
Yeah, I love that question. Mm-hmm. So these are the other three points here in terms of getting them there. There needs to be practice. So we've got to start creating some habits, right? So we've identified what's triggering us. We understand sort of we're starting to see the patterns that we have. So now we need to be able to replace those patterns with healthier, more effective patterns. So the practice, so we help build some practices around that, and then go out and do it. Now, here's what stands in the way of that. Discomfort, uncertainty, you know, because I think that, Lawrence, a lot of times when we've gone to school and we've gotten a lot of degrees, we think we've already paid our dues. And so life is supposed to be easy peasy from there. So we're, you know, it's kind of like I paid my dues. I'm supposed to just keep leveling up here. No, it doesn't work like that. Like, we keep leveling up based on the work and the effort that we put in. And it doesn't have to be difficult, but it does need to be consistent. And so discomfort comes through with growth. That's just the way that it works. So the more you can, and this is part of what I talk to my clients about, and this is why I also use physical fitness as a part of my coaching program, because, and I think you're former military, I think you know that it is through, when you can get your body to a place where it can navigate and surrender to pain, it can surrender to discomfort, that you're not gonna, I remember my significant other said to me one time when I was doing a plank and I was working on getting to a 6 minute 30 second plank. And he said, well, what would happen if you just went further? And I thought about that and I was like, well, I'm not going to break. I'm not going to die. You know, and so I continue to challenge my clients, like, what would happen if you just went further in the practice of it? If you allowed yourself to feel the discomfort that goes with it, that discomfort over time is going to start to diminish power and authority over you. And so sooner or later, you begin to recognize, oh, this is just a rep. You know, when you start benching 215 or what have you, initially it's heavy. But after you start doing it for a while, it feels similar to benching 100 pounds because you have enough reps in there. So doing the practice, becoming comfortable with discomfort. And then the last piece I wanted to say is getting you a really strong circle of influence, which includes a coach. Because you need a circle of influence, a COI, to help you stay grounded in data, facts, objectivity, but also in support and cheering you on. There's got to be a balance with that. You don't want to surround yourself with people where you're the smartest person in the room all the time, because you're never going to be stretched. You want people, including your employees, to create that space where they give you feedback. That would be the last piece that I'm going to add that on, is that you got to be willing to get this feedback. And if you build a strong enough circle of influence around it, you have built a trusting bond between that group where you can ask them to give you really constructive feedback so that you can continue to grow and evolve, taking back your power, transforming your habits so you can win at the game of life.
Y'all, so here's the deal. I ain't letting them get no more of your goods, Tracy. They got to call you. They got to direct message you so they can get enrolled in the program. The mastermind and all the things that I know you got rolling out for people to onboard them on the road to success. And so, y'all, I love bringing on leaders like Tracy because this is the tip of the iceberg. Y'all, she rolled out of bed, locked and loaded with this. So y'all already know, if going into a full-blown coaching relationship with Tracy, oh, you're going to get your head crushed in a loving way.
You're going to
hug along the way. But there's going to be some accountability. There's going to be some ownership. And there's going to, like, and I love what you locked in on there, is really having that point of, hey, getting people around you, that circle of influence, so that you can be at your best, right? Optimal. And understanding that you're in this state of growth. And the way I love to say it is understanding that we're seeking to be progressive, not perfect, in this thing we call life. And so, Coach Tracy, how do people link up with you, your programs, all the rest of those things. Give them the details.
I love it. So I make it real simple for people. Everything is I am Tracy Knight. So you can DM me on Instagram. You can hit me on Facebook, TikTok, Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, all at I am Tracy Knight. So that's one thing. On LinkedIn, it's just Tracy Knight. You can go to my website at IamTracyKnight.com. And let me spell Tracy, T-R-A-C-E-Y, and then Knight, K-N-I-G-H-T. So IamTracyKnight.com. What I'm super excited about at all times is this Take Back Your Time challenge that I've been doing out here in these streets, because so many leaders are at the brink of complete burnout and destruction and self-destruction. So we've got our next Take Back Your Time challenge where, Lawrence, you will not believe this, but I'm teaching leaders how to reclaim 500 hours a year of their own time, which is the equivalent of adding like a full another day to your week. And so if you're really wanting to figure out where all your time is going and what's burning it up and how to reclaim it, how to learn how to say no when no is needed and yes when yes is needed, you definitely want to be in this 3-day challenge. It's only an hour each day for 3 days. Invest that in yourself. Again, go to IamTracyKnight.com and you can learn more there. If you're interested in coaching, we have our training camp. So we have an 8-week program and we have a 6-month program, all designed for you to identify your epic leadership challenge and to develop the growth habits to overcome that. And then the last thing I want to share with you is our retreat. And this is for the women out there. Mm-hmm. I'm doing You Revealed in Costa Rica. It's 6 days and 5 nights at a 5-star resort where you will learn the 10 secrets to becoming a fully expressed woman. Just one of the few, F-E-W, a fully expressed woman. And it's really designed for women to answer 7 questions for herself. Who am I? What is the source of my power and how do I wield that to lead my own life? Why am I here? What is it that I want to contribute? What type of relationships do I want in my life and what standards will I set for myself? And most importantly, what is pleasure for me? Mm. Mm.
Y'all better go to IamTracyKnight.com and get locked in. And so I am honored again, Tracy, that you spent this time with me and the audience today. And so y'all connect with Tracy to get your head beat in a lovely way. And I'm waiting for the all included retreat. It's so coming. We can go answer the 7 questions too. And so that sounds like partnership opportunity for the future.
Absolutely.
And so I'm excited. And again, whatever you have going on, Tracy, please continue to share, tag me in everything so I can make sure that the community stays connected to you and all the amazing work that you're doing. And so thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Any last words for the people before we get out of here?
No, I'm just so grateful. And I just want to tell you that life is meant to be lived and to be enjoyed. You don't have to get up every day feeling like work is arduous, like your relationships are not satisfying. You get a chance to create this game called life. So create it with intentionality and let people like Lawrence and I show you how. Thank you, Hot Takes with the Boss.
I love it, love it, love it. So again, y'all, this has been another episode of Hot Takes, where we're always seeking to be humble, open, and transparent. And if you are a leader, practitioner, coach, speaker, and you want to be out here amplifying voices and people and all the things they have going on in their life, let me know. Hit me up, direct message me so we can get you on the schedule. And so until next time, be well, take care of each other, and we will see you soon.